Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Hi, everybody. This is Austin, and I will be reading through some articles from the Arapaho County News today. Centennial Metro. Passengers recount escape from burning plane at Denver Airport. Black smoke filled the cabin as people crowded the exit, but Levi had to remain seated because a handicapped woman was between her and the aisle. There are four articles on the side of the page. First article, Centennial Spring Forward, win free lift tickets, click to enter. No purchase necessary, must be 18 to win. Drawings held on Thursdays through March 19th, 2025. Loveland Ski Area. There is a person in the background snowboarding with mountains behind them. The second ad, sharing the love, win free lift tickets, click to enter. No purchase necessary, must be 18 to win. Drawings held on Thursdays through March 19th, 2025. Loveland Ski Area. There is a woman with snow gear on, holding her hands in the shape of a heart, with mountains in the background. The third ad, Representative Jamie Jackson. Add more homeowner protections to HB 1272. Hold builders accountable. Paid for by Build Our Homes Right. There's an image off to the right-hand side showing a home that is missing some siding and instead has wood sheeting with holes in the wall. Fourth ad, Mountain View Baptist Church. Repent and Believe John 3.16. Be our guest this Sunday. Sunday service, 11 a.m., Century Elementary School, 2500 South Granby Way, Aurora, Colorado. There is an image behind the wording, which is blue mountains and then an orange sunset. Denver. A fire on an American Airlines plane after it diverted mid-flight and landed at Denver International Airport sent passengers fleeing onto a wing in a fraught evacuation amid billowing clouds of smoke. Airport officials said 12 people were taken to the hospitals with minor injuries. The country has seen a recent spate of aviation disasters and close calls stoking fears about air travel, though flying remains a safe way to travel. Recent on-the-ground accidents include a plane that crashed and flipped over upon landing in Toronto, and a Japan Airlines plane that clipped up and parked a Delta plane while it was taxiing at the Seattle airport. Flight 1006 was headed from the Colorado Springs to Dallas-Fort Worth on Thursday, but diverted to Denver after the crew reported engine vibrations. It landed safely around 5:15 p.m., the Federal Aviation Administration said in a statement. An engine on the Boeing 737-800 caught fire as it taxied to the gate, the FAA added. Passengers described people exiting the plane onto its left wing as an engine beneath the right wing burned and black smoke surrounded the aircraft. They lined up and got the ground using slides and ladders brought over by ground crews, according to the FAA, video footage, and passenger interviews. All 172 passengers and six crew members were safely evacuated, authorities said. American Airlines referred questions about the 12 people taken to the hospitals to local officials. The damaged plane was seen parked behind a hangar at the airport Friday. Passengers' account of what happened. Passenger Hanny Levi said she felt a, quote, very strong vibration, end quote, after the plane took off, followed later by an announcement that there would be an emergency landing in Denver because of an apparent engine problem. As the plane taxied to the gate, the former military airplane mechanic from Las Vegas, who was sitting in a window seat, saw smoke coming from the wing and then fire. A passenger said to evacuate, but Levi said some people were panicking and a mother screamed that she needed to get off with her two children, one of whom tried to run toward the front of the plane, she said. Black smoke filled the cabin as people crowded the exit, but Levi had to remain seated because a handicapped woman was between her and the aisle. As they waited for a wheelchair, Levi watched black smoke and flames spitting from the wing just feet from her seat. People could be heard jostling to get off the plane in the videos that Levi took, with one person saying, quote, orderly, orderly, end quote, and another saying, quote, go, go, end quote. Quote, I chose to stay calm, end quote, said Levi, who said she tried not to breathe deeply to avoid inhaling the smoke. Passenger Daniel Friedman said he started thinking about writing a eulogy as the chaotic evacuation unfolded. He described people pushing and shoving to get off. Quote, really, I just wanted to make sure that we got here safe and didn't know if it was going to happen or not, end quote, Friedman told WRAL-TV. Quote, I don't wish that upon anybody, end quote. 12 people were treated at the University of Colorado Hospital in Aurora Thursday night and released, the hospital said Friday. A replacement plane and crew took passengers to Dallas-Fort Worth, the airline said. The flight landed Friday around 5 a.m. local time, according to the flight tracking website FlightAware. How common are airplane engine fires? American Airlines said in a statement that the flight experienced an engine-related issue after taxiing to the gate. There was no immediate clarification on exactly when the plane caught fire. Engine fires are rare, and crews trained to deal with them, aviation expert Stephen Wallace said. They typically are not catastrophic, even if they occur in the air, because planes can fly with a single engine, he said. Quote, a pilot going to work for an airline today could likely fly for 30 years and never experience an engine failure, end quote, said Wallace, a former director of the FAA's Accident Investigations Office. Two engine fires made news in recent weeks, a fire on a United Airlines flight February 2nd as it was preparing to take off from Houston, and a March 1st fire on a FedEx cargo plane that made an emergency landing in New Jersey following a bird strike. Former National Transportation Safety Board Chairman James Hall said the reported engine vibrations on the American flight were unusual, but a slew of problems that could have caused them and a fire, making it difficult to speculate on. As for the recent spate of aviation incidents, quote, given the past history, you can classify it as unusual, end quote, said Hall, but, quote, I don't know if you have enough information to draw any conclusions, end quote. The FAA and National Transportation Safety Board said they will investigate. The plane was built in 2012 with an engine from CFM International. Boeing declined comment, and CFM did not immediately respond to a request for comment. In a statement, American Airlines thanked its employees and first responders, quote, for their quick and decisive action, end quote, following the accident. Colorado resident Ian Paisley was flying from Denver to Hawaii on Friday with his family and heard about Thursday's fire, but didn't think that it would change their plans. Quote, we can have confidence that even though these are terrible things that happen and very frightening for people, that most of us, it's not going to be something that affects our lives, end quote, he said. That article was written by Thomas Piper, the Associated Press, Sarah Broomfield, Associated Press, Jesse Bodden, Associated Press, Colleen Slevin, Associated Press, and Matthew Brown, Associated Press. There are five pictures at the top of this article. First picture. In this image, taken from video provided by Justin Rainey, passengers move away from a plane as smoke surrounded the aircraft in Denver Thursday, March 13, 2025. In this image, taken from video provided by Justin Rainey, passengers move away from a plane as smoke surrounded the aircraft in Denver Thursday, March 13, 2025. Third picture, an American Airlines jetliner that caught fire after landing Thursday at Denver International Airport sits near a hangar at the airport Friday, March 14, 2025 in Denver. Fourth picture, an American Airlines jetliner that caught fire after landing Thursday at Denver International Airport sits near a hangar at the airport Friday, March 14, 2025. Fifth picture, an American Airlines jetliner that caught fire after landing Thursday at Denver International Airport sits near a hangar at the airport Friday, March 14, 2025 in Denver. Centennial Nation. Senate approves funding bill hours before shutdown deadline, sending to Trump for signature. Colorado Democratic Senators Michael Bennett and John Hickenlooper both voted against the measure. Written by Kevin Freaking, Associated Press, and Lisa Mascaro, AP Congressional Correspondent, March 14, 2025. There are five ads on the side of the page. First ad, Centennial Spring Forward. Win free lift tickets. Click to enter. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 to win. Drawings held on Thursdays through March 19th, 2025. Second ad, Centennial Muse. Wednesday, the 19th, Escape Room in Denver, Colorado. Saturday, the 15th, Is Your Dog Getting Enough Exercise in Moss, Denver. Saturday, the 15th, Denver Restaurant Week with Banana Concepts. Saturday, the 15th, Guttenberg the Musical in Denver for the Center of Arts. Saturday, the 15th, Bollywood Neon Holly Bash 2025. Saturday, the 15th, Get Lucked Up at Milepost Zero. Saturday, the 15th, Kiss Me, I'm Hungry with the Original. The third ad, Sharing the Love. Win free lift tickets. Click to enter. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 to win. Drawings held on Thursdays through March 19th, 2025. Loveland Ski Area. There is a woman in snow gear with mountains in the background and holding her hands in the shape of a heart. The fourth ad, Representative Jamie Jackson. Add more homeowner protections to HB 1272. Hold builders accountable. Paid for by Build Our Homes Right. There's an image off to the right-hand side showing a home that is missing some siding and instead has wood sheeting with holes in the wall. The fifth ad, Mountain View Baptist Church. Repent and Believe, John 3-16. Be our guest this Sunday. Sunday service, 11 a.m., Century Elementary School, 2500 South Granby Way, Aurora, Colorado. There's a drawing of blue mountains with an orange sunset in the background. Washington. The Senate passed a six-month spending bill Friday, hours before a government shutdown, overcoming sharp Democratic opposition to the measure and sending it to President Donald Trump to be signed into law. The essentially party-line vote, 54-46, reflected gnawing Democratic angst over how to confront the Trump administration and its Department of Government Efficiency fires federal workers and dismantles operations. Democrats argued over whether to fight even risking a shutdown and fumed that Republicans drafted a measure that included little of their input, shortchanging health care, housing, and other priorities. Colorado Democratic Senators Michael Bennett and John Hickenlooper both voted against the measure. But in the end, enough of the Democratic senators decided a government shutdown would be even worse and backed Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer's strategy to allow the bill to come forward. Quote, a shutdown will allow DOGE to shift into overdrive, end quote, Schumer said. Quote, Donald Trump and Elon Musk would be free to destroy vital government services at a much faster rate, end quote. Democrats were confronted with two painful options. Allowing passage of a bill they believe give President Donald Trump vast discretion on spending decisions, or voting no and letting a funding lapse ensue. All told, 10 Democrats voted to break the party's filibuster. On final passage, two Democrats supported the bill, and one Republican, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, opposed it. Schumer gave members of his caucus days to vent their frustration about the options before them, but abruptly switched course and made clear on the eve of voting that he would not allow a government shutdown. His move outraged many in the party who want to fight the Trump agenda, but gave senators room to side with Republicans and allow the continuing resolution, often described as a CR, to advance. Democrats from all corners looked to pressure senators to kill the bill. House members wrote letters, posted on social media, and held press conferences in the hours before the vote. Quote, the American people sent Democrats to Congress to fight against Republican dysfunction and chaos, end quote, said a letter from the 66 House Democrats to Schumer. House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries and his team dashed back to the Capitol urging senators to block the bill and negotiate a true compromise with Republicans. Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi called the bill, quote, unacceptable, end quote. Some Democrats also argued that Republicans would take the blame for a shutdown, given they controlled all the levers of power in Congress and the White House. Colorado comment. Representative Jason Crow, Democrat, Aurora. Quote, I voted no on the Republican spending bill. Senate Democrats should vote no, too. We should not be giving Donald Trump and Elon Musk more unchecked power to dismantle the government. Coloradoans want us to fight. That's all I want to continue to do. End quote. Representative Gabe Evans, Republican, Thornton. Quote, if Colorado Democrats had it their way, they would have shut down the government and jeopardized essential services and programs that our Colorado families, seniors, and small businesses rely on. Every Colorado Democrat in the House and Senate put politics ahead of people. The federal government remains open thanks to Republicans, not Colorado Democrats. End quote. Senator Michael Bennett, Democrat, Colorado. Quote, Republicans knew they needed Democratic votes to pass their spending bill, but they refused to work with Democrats on a bipartisan deal to put American families first. The Republican spending bill does not serve Coloradoans well. Therefore, I will be voting no. In the coming days, I am committed to working across the aisle to finish the appropriations process and craft a bill that is a better deal for Colorado. End quote. Senator John Hickenlooper, Democrat, Colorado. Quote, the Republican CR is a dangerous power grab. It would give Trump unchecked control over our nation's spending and strip Congress of our constitutional power. Across the board, I'm a no. End quote. Quote, if you refuse to put forward an offer that includes any Democratic input and you don't give Democratic votes, that's on Republicans. End quote, said Senator Patty Murray, the top Democrat on the Senate Appropriations Committee. In contrast, Schumer picked up one expected nod of support from Trump himself, who just a day earlier was gearing up to blame Democrats for any shutdown. Quote, congratulations to Chuck Schumer for doing the right thing. Took guts and courage, end quote, the president posted on his social media account. Congress has been unable to pass the annual appropriations bill designed to fund the government, so they resorted to passing short-term extensions instead. The legislation before the Senate is the third such continuing resolution for the current fiscal year, now nearly half over. The legislation would fund the federal government through the end of September. It would trim non-defense spending by about $13 billion from the previous year and increase defense spending by about $6 billion, which are marginal changes when talking about a top-line spending level of nearly $1.7 trillion. The Republican-led House passed the spending bill Tuesday and then adjourned. The move left senators with a decision to either take it or leave it. And while Democrats pushed for a vote on fourth short-term extension, GOP leadership made clear that that option was a non-starter. Senate Majority Leader John Thune, Republican of South Dakota, and others made the case that any blame for a shutdown would fall squarely on Democrats. And House Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican LA, said Republicans stood together to get the job done. Quote, shamefully, 99% of Democrats in Congress voted to shut down the government, simply because they seem to hate President Trump more than they love America, end quote, Johnson said. Meanwhile, some House Democrats lashed out at their colleagues across the Capitol after the vote. Quote, the constituents I represent need Democrats to stand up to this rogue administration, end quote, said Representative Stephen Horsford, Democrat of Nevada. Quote, what they got from Senate Democrats today was capitalization instead. But Schumer said Trump would seize more power during a shutdown because it would give the administration the ability to deem whole agencies, programs, and personnel non-essential, furloughing staff with no promise they would ever be rehired. Democrats were critical of the funding levels in the bill, but they are more worried about the discretion the bill gives the Trump administration on spending decisions. Many Democrats are referring to the measure as a, quote, blank check, end quote, for Trump. Spending bills typically come with specific funding directives for key programs, but hundreds of those directives fall away under the continuing resolution passed by the House, so the administration will have more leeway to decide where the money goes. For example, a Democratic memo said the bill would allow the administration to steer money away from combating fentanyl and instead use it on mass deportation initiatives. Several amendments to the bill failed, but one to eliminate funding for DOGE drew support from a Republican, Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. The spending bill before the Senate is separate from the GOP effort to extend tax cuts for individuals passed in Trump's first term and to partially pay for them with spending cuts elsewhere in the government. The second package will be developed in the months ahead, but it was clearly part of the political calculus. Quote, "You're looking at a 1-2 punch, a very bad CR, then a reconciliation bill coming down, which will be the final kick in the teeth for the American people," end quote, said Senator Bernie Sanders, independent Vermont. Senator Tom Cotton, Republican Arkansas, said the Democratic arguments for voting against the bill were hypocritical because they were essentially calling for shutting down the government to protect the government. Quote, "Democrats are fighting to withhold the paychecks of air traffic controllers, our troops, federal custodian staff," end quote, Cotton said. Quote, "They can't be serious," end quote. Senators also unanimously approved a separate bill to fix an unexpected provision in the package that would require the District of Columbia to revert to 2024 budget levels and cut some of the $1.1 billion, even though the district raises most of its own money. That bill, which now goes to the House, would allow spending at 2025 levels. Associated Press writers Leah Arkasnam and Matt Brown contributed to this story from Leesburg, Virginia. There are 8 images at the top of the article. First image, Senator Richard Blumenthal, Democrat of Connecticut, speaks with reporters as the Senate works to avert a partial government shutdown ahead of the midnight deadline at the Capitol in Washington, Friday, March 14, 2025. AP photo, J. Scott Applewhite. The second picture, Senator Raphael Warnock, Democrat of Georgia, responds to reporters as the Senate works to avert a partial government shutdown ahead of the midnight deadline at the Capitol in Washington, Friday, March 14, 2025. AP photo, J. Scott Applewhite. The third picture, Senator John Fetterman, Democrat of Pennsylvania, greets Senator James Risch, Republican of Idaho, as they arrive for votes as the Senate works to avert a partial government shutdown ahead of the midnight deadline at the Capitol, Washington, Friday, March 14, 2025. AP photo, J. Scott Applewhite. The fourth picture, Senate Majority Leader Senator John Thune, Republican of South Dakota, walks to the Senate chamber as the Senate works to avert a partial government shutdown ahead of the midnight deadline at the Capitol in Washington, Friday, March 14, 2025. AP photo, Ben Curtis. Fifth picture, Senate Majority Leader Senator John Thune, Republican South Dakota, walks from the Senate chamber as the Senate works to avert a partial government shutdown ahead of the midnight deadline at the Capitol in Washington, Friday, March 14, 2025. AP photo, Ben Curtis. The sixth picture, Senator Chris Coons, Democrat of Delaware, walks from the Senate chamber at the Capitol in Washington, Friday, March 14, 2025. AP photo, Ben Curtis. The seventh picture, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York, looks at his watch before a television interview as the Senate works to avert a partial government shutdown ahead of the midnight deadline at the Capitol in Washington, Friday, March 14, 2025. The eighth photo, Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer returns after giving a television interview at the Capitol in Washington, Friday, March 14, 2025. AP photo, Ben Curtis. Centennial Metro. Two teenagers charged with murder and shooting death linked to shoe robbery in Aurora parking lot. Police said Friday the suspects were linked to other crimes and robberies in the metro area, but they did not provide details of those crimes. By the Centennial, March 14, 2025. There are 5 ads on the side of the page. First ad, Centennial Spring Forward. Win free lift tickets. Click to enter. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 to win. Drawings held on Thursdays through March 19th, 2025. Second ad, Centennial Muse. Wednesday, the 19th, Escape Room in Denver, Colorado. Saturday, the 15th, Is Your Dog Getting Enough Exercise in Moss, Denver. Saturday, the 15th, Denver Restaurant Week with Banana Concepts. Saturday, the 15th, Gutenberg the Musical in Denver for the Center of Arts. Saturday the 15th, Bollywood Neon Holly Bash 2025. Saturday the 15th, Get Lucked Up at Milepost Zero. Saturday the 15th, Kiss Me I'm Hungry with the Original. The third ad, Sharing the Love. Win free lift tickets. Click to enter. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 to win. Drawings held on Thursdays through March 19th, 2025. Loveland Ski Area. There is a woman in snow gear with mountains in the background and holding her hands in the shape of a heart. The fourth ad, Representative Jamie Jackson. Add more homeowner protections to HB 1272. Hold builders accountable. Paid for by Build Our Homes Right. There's an image off to the right-hand side showing a home that is missing some siding and instead has wood sheeting with holes in the wall. The fifth ad, Mountain View Baptist Church. Repent and Believe, John 3-16. Be our guest this Sunday. Sunday service, 11 a.m., Century Elementary School, 2500 South Granby Way, Aurora, Colorado. There's a drawing of blue mountains with an orange sunset in the background. Aurora. Police say they have arrested two 19-year-old men in connection with a fatal March 11th shooting in a southwest Aurora office park, and both men face murder charges in what investigators say was a robbery over the sale of shoes. Isaac Dela Cruz, 19, has been charged with first-degree murder and aggravated robbery, according to police. He is being held at the jail without bond. Kevin Hernandez Gonzalez, 19, has been charged with the second-degree murder and aggravated robbery, police said. He, too, is being held at the Arapahoe County Jail in lieu of a $1 million bond. Quote, our thoughts are with the victim's family, friends, and members of our community who have been impacted by this tragic and senseless crime, end quote, Mark Hildebrand, chief of the Aurora Police Department's Investigations Division, said in a statement. In a statement Friday, police said Dela Cruz is accused of being the shooter in the case, and Hernandez Gonzalez drove a getaway car from the scene. Police were called to the 10805 East Bethany Drive at about 9:30 p.m. after reports of a shooting in a parking lot. The building is part of a larger office park. Aurora police said they found a man critically wounded from gunfire outside of an office building. The slain man was identified Friday by the Arapahoe County Coroner as Yusuf Jamal Elenifer, 23. Quote, the victim was taken to a local hospital with life-threatening injuries, end quote, police said previously in a statement. The man later died from his gunfire injuries. Quote, the investigation to date has determined the victim traveled to the area after facilitating a transaction through an online marketplace, end quote, police said in a statement. Quote, detectives are investigating the homicide as an isolated incident and don't think the shooting is connected to any schools, places of worship, or businesses in the area, end quote. Police said the Friday transaction was supposed to be the sale of a pair of shoes. Police said Friday the suspects were linked to other crimes and robberies in the metro area, but they did not provide details of those crimes. Police credited the arrest to a collaborative effort amongst APD's Fugitive and Narcotics Unit and a host of the other local police agencies. Arrest warrants for Hernandez Gonzalez and Dela Cruz were both sealed by a county court at the request of prosecutors. Police said anyone with information can call Metro Denver Crime Stoppers at 720-913-7867. Tipsters can remain anonymous and still be eligible for a reward of up to $2,000, police said. There are two pictures at the top of the article. The first picture is of Isaac Dela Cruz, who is wearing glasses, has brown hair, and an orange jumpsuit with a tattoo on the side of his neck. The second picture is of Kevin Hernandez Gonzalez, who is standing in an orange jumpsuit with short brown hair. An edition of the Littleton Independent, Centennial Citizen Independent, week of March 13th, 2025, volume 24, issue 15. Mineral Avenue Trail will be paved despite opposition to change from some residents. Officials plan a 16-foot wide paved trail to enhance safety, but several citizens advocate for preserving natural surfaces. By Isabel Guzman, Isabel at cotln.org. The March 4th Littleton City Council meeting focused on plans to pave the Mineral Avenue Trail, with City Manager Jim Beckenberg confirming the project is moving forward. This, quote, is a project that has millions of dollars in grant funding to make it happen, end quote, Beckenberg said. Quote, we've been told we have to use this money by the end of the year, end quote. The trail, stretching along Mineral Avenue between Windermere Street and Jackass Hill Road, will be paved 16 feet wide with separate lanes for bicyclists and pedestrians. The project is a collaboration between the City of Littleton and the South Suburban Parks and Recreation District. During public comment, several residents opposed replacing the current crushed finer trails with concrete and advocated for keeping the path natural and soft. Quote, no concrete has been poured. Now is the time for the city to either abandon the plan to concrete the crusher fine trails or create a dual surface trail that meets the needs and wants of the community, end quote, resident Ned Stern said. Following public comment, Beckenberg responded to the residents' concerns and said the pavement, which is part of the two-phase mineral mobility improvements project, is aimed at enhancing safety for both pedestrians and cyclists from the Highline Canal to Santa Fe Drive. Beckenberg addressed the topics of a posable dual surface trail, where the pedestrian path would remain crusher fines and the bike path would be concreted, and stated that the city had considered the idea but ultimately decided against it due to concerns about cost and practicality. He said maintaining a dual surface trail would require additional resources and costs and could create challenges for snow removal and long-term upkeep. Instead, the city opted to move forward with a single surface design. In response to the demand to preserve crusher fines trails, Beckenberg suggested that the city should formalize agreements with South Suburban to preserve crusher fine trails in specific areas in future projects. Quote, I think Littleton has voiced a very clear preference towards crusher fines, and whenever possible, when working with South Suburban or for our own projects, if we can do both, crusher fines and cement trails, then we should do both, end quote, Peter said. The paving is expected to begin soon, with phase one of the project planned to be completed by the summer. There's a picture at the top of the page. In the March 14th Littleton City Council meeting, the city said it plans to move forward with paving the Mineral Avenue Trail. It is a picture of the trail with trees and signs in the background. License for Sheridan Animal Rescue, MAMCO, suspended after rabies risk and allegations of neglect. The shelter's 87 dogs are being transferred to nearby facilities by Isabel Guzman, isabel@cotln.org. The license for Moms in Mutz, Colorado, MAMCO, rescue for pregnant and nursing dogs was ordered to be suspended on February 28th due to allegations of animal neglect and mishandling of hookworm and potential rabies exposure. This comes months after MAMCO faced scrutiny in August when a dozen puppies were euthanized following a rabies diagnosis. The Colorado Department of Agriculture now claims the rescue failed to properly isolate puppies with hookworm and those potentially exposed to rabies or distemper, leading to four puppies being euthanized. The Colorado Department of Agriculture also alleges that two dogs escaped the facility during an inspection. In December, the shelter entered a probationary period with the state due to several allegations of multiple violations that occurred in 2024 between January and July. These include inadequate pest control, failure to sanitize enclosures, keeping dogs in enclosures that were not appropriately sized, and insufficient cleaning of animal waste. Erin Jones, who is an owner of MAMCO, along with her husband, Robert Jones, are now transferring the 87 dogs that were housed in MAMCO to other shelters. They deny the allegations and in an Instagram post claim the state is using fabricated information to scare the public. Quote, we have been political pawns and the state has been using MAMCO Rescue as a way to make it so that no dogs can come into the state of Colorado without a rabies vaccine, end quote. Erin Jones said in her March 1st Instagram video, quote, which means no dogs under the age of 12 weeks can be brought into Colorado, which means no moms, no puppies, nothing, end quote. She also alleges that the state illegally, quote, rode up, end quote, the shelter, and that the violations were only repairs the building required. According to the order issued by Department of Agriculture, the shelter was notified on February 13th that it had failed two inspections in addition to the alleged violations in 2024, resulting in the suspension of its license. The Colorado Department of Agriculture ordered the immediate surrender of all dogs to other shelters or rescue organizations, citing an, quote, imminent threat to the health and safety of Colorado dogs and their owners, end quote. The document states the shelter had imported puppies from Texas infected with hookworm in December, but failed to isolate them, increasing the risk of cross-contamination. One puppy became severely ill with symptoms possibly indicating distemper or rabies and was euthanized on January 29th after visits to a vet emergency hospital. According to the document, despite potential exposure, the puppy's three littermates were not isolated and were euthanized to be tested for rabies, which is the only possible way to test a dog for the virus. The Mamco owners are now fundraising to fight the state in court. In a caption of their social media post showing police ordering the shelter to be shut down, the owner stated, quote, and if this is the end, we thank you for all helping us save 1,432 dogs and cats that wouldn't have any voices without us as a community. There are pictures of 9 different dogs in the article. Some of them are black dogs, some of them are black and white dogs, some of them are brown dogs, and a couple of them have different colored bandanas around their necks. Former Centennial preschool teacher charged. Man is facing 51 accusations of child abuse and harassment. Staff report. A former worker at a daycare center in Centennial faces 51 charges of child abuse and harassment after he turned himself in to the Arapahoe County Sheriff's Office. Brandon Vigil, 32, was arrested on February 10th after surrendering himself to officers at the Arapahoe County Detention Facility, a March 5th press release from the Sheriff's Office said. Vigil is facing 9 counts of child abuse, knowingly, recklessly, bodily injury, 19 counts of child abuse, knowingly, recklessly, no injury, and 23 counts of harassment, strike, shove, kick. Quote, Vigil was a preschool teacher in a Centennial from February 2024 until he was fired on September 6, 2024, end quote, a press release from the Sheriff's Office states, quote, investigators say somebody reported a single incident of abuse on September 5th when a teacher's aide, who was substituting for another teacher, said Vigil seemed irritated and in a bad mood and was throwing things, end quote. According to the press release, the teacher's aide said there were about 14 two-year-olds in the classroom. Quote, Vigil was throwing sleeping pads around and appeared visibly upset that kids were in his way, end quote, the press release states. Quote, one child was not moving quickly enough and was allegedly struck by Vigil with an open hand. The child began to cry, to which Vigil responded with a racial slur, end quote. The teacher's aide reported the September 5th incident to the director of the daycare and to police. The press release states that the teacher's aide said Vigil has a history of verbally abusing students, but no other incidents were specifically reported. Quote, investigators began reviewing evidence from the daycare and discovered many instances of harmful, degrading, and humiliating actions directed at the children, all two-year-olds, end quote, the sheriff's office said in the release. The sheriff's office is working with Colorado State Child Care Licensing and Administration and Arapahoe County Child Protection Services on the investigation. The sheriff's office is asking people to call 720-874-8477 if they have information regarding the case. There's a picture at the top of the page with the description. The Arapahoe County Sheriff's Office has arrested a former preschool teacher at a daycare center in Centennial and charged him with 51 counts of child abuse and harassment charges. The picture is of Arapahoe County Justice Center building. Mark Baisley to run for Colorado governor. He is the second Republican lawmaker to enter the 2026 race by Bente Birkenland, Colorado Public Radio. The list of Republicans aiming for Colorado's top office is growing. two current State House Republicans have officially entered the race for governor in 2026, when Democratic Governor Jared Polis is term limited. Colorado has not elected a Republican governor since Bill Owens handedly defeated a Democrat in 2002. This story was produced as part of the Colorado Capital News Alliance. It's first appeared at CPR.org. Senator Mark Baisley of Woodland Park said the political left has tightened its grip on the Colorado community to pass radical bills, some of which are, quote, blatantly unconstitutional, end quote. Quote, the state government has taken on an attitude of micromanaging the people's behavior rather than respecting and empowering we the people, he, end quote, he sent in a text message to CPR News. Baisley says campaign will focus on economic opportunity, education, and safety. Quote, working with innovative government and industry leadership, we have managed to make several meaningful accomplishments in bringing advanced technology and manufacturing to the state. We may even land the competition to host the coveted Sundance Film Festival. I've spent much of my energies working with education and situations toward preparing students to step up to those good-paying jobs, end quote. Representative Scott Bottoms of Colorado Springs filed paperwork with Colorado's Secretary of State's office last month to launch his bid. The second-term lawmaker is a pastor and Navy veteran. He is one of the most conservative members of the legislature and at times butts heads with Democrats on issues of free speech and decorum in the chamber. This session, he introduced bills to make it a Class 2 felony to help an out-of-state minor come to Colorado for gender-affirming care and to ban commercial insect production for human consumption. Both were defeated in their first hearings. Bottoms and Baisley are both sponsors of a bill this year that would have made it harder for medical professionals who provide gender-affirming care to minors to get medical malpractice insurance. Democrats defeated that proposal. The two also worked together on creation of an In God We Trust license plate option, which became law in 2023. For the most part, Baisley has primarily focused on business and technology during his time at the Capitol. He previously served in the House and now sits on the Senate's Business, Labor, and Technology and Local Government and Housing Committees, as well as the General Assembly's and Joint Technology Committee. He's also been working with Democrats on the AI Task Force that was set up to help implement Colorado's first-in-the-nation law aimed at preventing and reducing discriminatory AI systems in key decisions that impact people's lives in areas like housing and education. Bottom sits on the Appropriations Committee and the State Civic, Military, and Veterans Affairs Committee. This story was produced by the Colorado Capital News Alliance, a collaboration between KUNC News, Colorado Public Radio, Rocky Mountain PBS, and The Colorado. Report says fewer Coloradans are identifying as Christian. By Elaine Tassi, CPR News. The percentage of Coloradoans who call themselves Christian has declined over the past decade and a half, as the percentage of Coloradoans who define themselves as, quote, religiously unaffiliated, end quote, increased by almost the same amount over the same time period. It's a trend that matches what's happening across the country. The Pew Research Center's, quote, Religious Landscape Study, end quote, published February 26th, found that in 2007, about a third of Coloradoans, 67%, identified as Christian. Last year, that number dropped to about half, 52%. Carl Raschke, a professor of philosophy of religion at the University of Denver, says that this shift is based on some unique characteristics about the centennial state. Quote, Colorado is one of the most educated states in the country. Higher levels of education very much go hand in hand with higher levels of religious disaffiliation, end quote, Raschke said. Quote, Colorado has historically always been less religious than other parts of the country, end quote. The state of Colorado is 10% less Christian than the country as a whole, according to the study. The percentage of people who identified as Christian was 78% nationally in 2007, as compared to Colorado's 67% at that time. The percentage of peoples nationwide self-identifying as Christian declined to 62% in 2024, 10% higher than Colorado's 2024 Christian percentage as just over half, 52%. Religiously unaffiliated on the rise. Besides providing data on the decline of how many people identify as Christian, the report also found that the percentage of people in the U.S. who aren't a part of any religion and describe themselves as, quote, religiously unaffiliated, end quote, has gone up. And it appears that people who are walking away from Christianity are not connecting with new faiths. Indeed, the decline in the number of people who identify as Christian nearly mirrored the rise in the number of people who are, quote, religiously unaffiliated, end quote, between 2007 and 2024. The number of people identifying as Christian declined nationally by 16%. Those who define themselves as religiously unaffiliated rose 13%. In Colorado, the percentage of people who define themselves as religiously unaffiliated in 2007 was a quarter of the state's population, 25%. That percentage shot up 15 percentage points to 40% last year. DU's Rashke said that age is a factor in shift away from Christianity and religiosity in general. Quote, most of the decline has been among the younger generation, end quote, he said. Quote, that's been a national trend, end quote. About 37,000 people participated in the Pew Research Study, which has been conducted for the past 17 years. This story is a CPR News, a nonprofit public broadcaster serving Colorado, used by permission. For more and to support Colorado Public Radio, visit CPR.org. There's a picture at the top of the article with the following caption. First Congregational Church in downtown Colorado Springs is part of the United Church of Christ, widely seen as the most progressive sect of Christianity in the nation. Photo by Dan Boyce, CPR News. The picture is of an older-looking church with a flag that says Black Lives Matter and also a flag that says A Just World for All that is rainbow-colored. There is an ad at the bottom of the page. Buy one, get one 40% off, minimum purchase of four, plus $200 off your entire purchase. Ends 4/30. Renewal by Anderson. Full-service window and door replacement. Phone number 888-670-2459. There's also an ad on the side of the page. 2025 Best of the Best, Colorado Community Media. Best of the Best. Vote now through April 15th. CentennialCitizen.net. To provide the most accurate results by geographical area, Colorado Community Media does not require, but does encourage readers to vote for businesses in their immediate local community. All nominated businesses have an equal opportunity of winning, no purchase required. Please see voting website for complete contest rules and regulations. Sean White promotes Snow League in Thornton. Snowboarding legend Vince Snowbon to lend tips and skates with kids. Written by John Renfro, J. Renfro at ColoradoCommunityMedia.com. It's not often an arguable top 10 athlete of all time stops in for a session in your hometown, but that's what kids got in Thornton on March 4th when snowboarding legend Sean White pulled up to Snowbon Action Sports Center. The three-time Olympic gold medalist and 15-time X Games gold medalist was in the Denver area ahead of the debut of Sean White's The Snow League at Buttermilk Ski Resort in Aspen. Beginning on March 7th, the league is dubbed, quote, the first professional winter sports league entirely dedicated to snowboarding and free skiing, end quote. The inaugural event will see some of the world's top snowboarders compete head-to-head in the halfpipe on NBC and Peacock. The qualifying day is March 7th, and the finals are on March 8th. Quote, I mean, look, Colorado, it's hard to compete with it, end quote, White said. Quote, it's one of the best places in the world for winter sports, and the people are amazing. I've had plenty of memories, and plenty of things happen for me here. And so, we're proud to kick off the league event here and support Snowbon. I try to work in places that I've had great experiences and have been good to me. Aspen's one of, if not the most talked about, world destination for winter sports, plus just the vibe and the culture and all that. It's a scene in many ways. I've had some amazing experiences there. All the stars really aligned." End quote. About the Snow League. Season 1 features a 4-event global format boasting a $1.6 million prize purse, with athletes competing to earn points to determine the overall champions. After the season debut at Buttermilk in Aspen Snowmass this week, the event moves to Yunding Secret Garden in China on December 4th to the 6th, where 16 of the world's top free skiers will join the roster at the Beijing 2022 Olympic venue. The league returns to Aspen next February 26th to the 28th and concludes at LAAX, Switzerland, next March 19th to the 21st, where the first ever Snow League World Champions will be crowned. The event features reigning Olympic gold medalist Ayuma Hirano of Japan, Pyeongchang Olympic silver medalist Liu Jiahu of China, Beijing Olympic bronze medalist Sina Tomita of Japan, along with U.S. Olympians Chase Josie, Lucas Foster, and Maddie Maestro. Quote, "The finals is a head-to-head format. It's like a March Madness or something," end quote, White said. Quote, "It's something that people recognize from other sports. It's confusing format currently, but now there's a lot more education that's going on to get people excited and understand what's happening," end quote. Check out the Snow League on NBC and Peacock. Sean White plus Snowbon. White is an ambassador and investor at Snowbon, an indoor action sports facility founded in 2016 with locations in Thornton and Centennial. Snowbon offers indoor skiing and snowboard lessons with slopes and trampolines, provides a full indoor skate park, camps throughout the year, rentals, and more. Visit www.snowbon.com for more information. For more, read an extended Q&A with White at coloradocommunitymedia.com/2025/03/05/Sean-White-Thornton/. There are two pictures with this article. The first picture has the caption, "Sean White warms up with a few tricks at Snowbon in Thornton on March 4th. White stopped into the Action Sports Center to do interviews with local media and skate with local youth boarders." The picture is showing Sean on a skateboard, skateboarding in a half pipe. The second picture has the caption, "Sean White left high fives a local while skating with kids at Snowbon Action Sports Center in Thornton on March 4th. You can see the picture of Sean with three kids standing there on their scooters and skateboards, high-fiving Sean. There is an ad at the bottom of the page. Worship Guide. To advertise your place of worship in this section, call Aaron at 303-566-4074 or email eaddenbrook@coloradocommunitymedia.com. There are a few different locations listed below. Castle Rock, Franktown, World Mission Church, Korean Church, 7249 East Park Drive, Franktown, Colorado. Time, 10:30 p.m. Phone, 303-688-1004. English translation, everyone is welcome. The next one, Greenwood Village, Congregation Beth Shalom, serving the Southeast Denver area. Call or check our website for more information on services and social events. www.cbsdenver.org, 303-505-9236. The next one, Parker, Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday services, 10 a.m., meditation before service, 9:30 a.m., Cimarron Middle School, 12130 Canterbury Parkway, Parker, Colorado, 80138, www.cslparker.org, 303-805-9890. Parker, Prairie UU. Join us in respecting and honoring all lives and faiths. 10:45 a.m. Sunday services. Check out our website for events and information. PrairieUU.org with a QR code below that. Online, Mass for the Masses, Paul Noel Fiorino, Sing Along, Harmonize, Learn, DCHS All-State Choir, with a couple of QR codes at the top of the ad. The last one, Your Ad Here. Advertise your place of worship here. That concludes today's reading of the Arapahoe County News. I was your host, Austin. I hope you enjoyed listening. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.